On this blessed Christmas morning, let's begin by reading a familiar and appropriate passage together. We already read one verse of it with that very fitting children's message. Let's turn together to the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke. We'll read the first 20 verses together. While you're turning, will you stand together as you're able in reverence for the reading of God's holy word this morning? This is Luke chapter 2. Verses 1 through 20. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds, living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks for your word today. Lord, we've already spoken at some length about how thankful we are for this occasion that we celebrate. But Lord, we're thankful for the details that you give us in your word. We're thankful that we can read this timeless story over and over again, and you continue to teach us new things because, Lord, your word is living and active, and your spirit is a wonderful teacher. So, Father, by your spirit, teach us this morning. Guide us into more truth that we may glorify you with all that we do and all that we are. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. That's a timeless story. It's one we've heard for ages. In fact, this story is the reason we celebrate this holiday at all. And in reality, this story is the reason we gather for worship at all. You see, we gather on the first day of the week, on Sunday, in commemoration of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And for those of us who were saved, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection are the source of our redemption and our hope for eternal life. But the fact remains that none of those things would have occurred if Jesus had not first come to earth, born to a virgin in a little town called Bethlehem. Were it not for the first Christmas, we would still be lost in our sins. And yet, as magical as this season is for many of us, and as holy as this day is for us, because the story is so timeless and familiar, often we lose sight of the wonder of it, and we allow the details to become somehow commonplace. But on that first Christmas morning, it was anything but a common day for those involved in the story. Now, so often we focus on Mary or Joseph or even the baby Jesus, but this morning I want to look at the shepherds. Because these poor guys got the scare of their lives when a band of angels showed up and filled their starry night with the blinding glory of heaven. And the Bible says that when the angel of the Lord appeared, they were, quote, greatly afraid. I guess so. Can you imagine what that must have been like to be out in that field as on countless other nights, just going about your routine, watching the sheep, keeping an eye out for predators lurking in the darkness, and maybe just chatting amongst yourselves. When all of a sudden the skies are flooded with light, and this fearsome supernatural being appears out of nowhere, and the first thing the angel says is, "Fear not." Yeah, easy for you to say. And we know the rest of the story. I mean, we just read it, but we've known it, a lot of us, for about as long as we can remember. The shepherds were told that a Savior had been born in Bethlehem, and they were given a sign. And then the chorus of angels sings what must have been a thunderous symphony of praise, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And then the shepherds, not surprisingly, because this was not a common occurrence for them, they said amongst themselves, you know, let's go see what they're talking about. And so they find Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger, just as the angel said. And when they'd seen him, the Bible says that they made widely known what they'd been told about this child. But have you ever wondered what they said? How they would have either started or summarized those conversations? That's what I'd like for us to briefly ponder today. But first, let's recall a few things that we've mentioned before, but it's good to review. And see, in the past, we've talked about shepherds. Shepherding was a low-ranking profession in the socioeconomic climate of that time. Shepherds were looked down upon. It was not considered a job for those with status or power. I mean, consider David. He would become the king of Israel, but he was the youngest of all of Jesse's sons. And as the youngest son, he was lowest ranked in the family. So he was assigned the lowly task of shepherding his father's sheep. And even when Samuel came and told Jesse that one of your sons will be anointed king, Jesse thought so low of his lowest ranked David that he didn't even bother calling David out of the field. David was the youngest. He was the lowest on the totem pole. So shepherds in general were not considered important or elite in society, and yet they were important. They may have been considered lowly and uneducated, but the truth is that they were hardworking and knowledgeable. They may not have been schooled in university, but they were differently educated. They were well-versed in animal behavior, veterinary care techniques for their flocks, weather patterns and watching for meteorological cues, agricultural practices for providing pasture land, defensive techniques for warding off predators, and more. See, they were rugged and bold in that they weathered long and arduous drives and faced off against wild cats, bears, coyotes, and more. These were not ignorant simpletons as the elite of the day pictured them. And truthfully, as sometimes we picture them. They were also vital to the economy of the time. You know, sheep were a valuable resource, be it for clothing, for food, for musical instruments made of ram's horns, or any of the other uses for sheep. A family's flock was often its wealth and its source of income and stability. So the shepherd of the family was essentially like the banker, holding, protecting, and growing the assets entrusted to him. And though that's true everywhere at the time, it's even more so at Bethlehem. See, Bethlehem is just a short distance from Jerusalem. And so when the temple was constructed at Jerusalem, the lush pasture lands around Bethlehem became home to the temple flock. These were the sheep and particularly the lambs that were used for temple worship, for the sin offerings, and particularly for the Passover. Shepherds in Bethlehem were tasked therefore with a somewhat priestly duty. They had to take special care of their flock to ensure that they would remain uninjured, unblemished, and perfect for use in temple sacrifice. Particularly as lambs were born nearing Passover, they had to be skilled in inspecting these lambs to be sure that they were suitable for the stringent quality demands placed on Passover lambs. And the shepherds of Bethlehem had an ancient facility at their disposal for use. In ancient times, large flocks would have towers constructed around their home base. The flocks may travel out for pasture, but their home base of operations would be around this tower. And from this tower, which was usually a two-story structure, the shepherd could look out over their flocks from the top tier. They could see the pasture, the whole flock, and they could also keep watch for predators moving into the area. It was a strategic vantage point. But then the bottom floor would be constructed into a stable of sorts for the purpose of providing protection to injured animals, but more importantly, to ewes about to give birth. When a ewe was nearing delivery, she would be brought into the tower for protection from the elements and from predators, and there she could give birth. In this place, the shepherds would also inspect that newborn lamb for defect before laying it in a manger for warmth and protection until it was strong enough to go to its mother. And while I didn't find any historical evidence of this, so to speak, there are numerous sources that suggest that shepherds may have swaddled newborn lambs in cloths. I don't know if that's true, but it's certainly not outside the realm of possibility. Anyway, Bethlehem was the home of a particularly ancient flock tower. It was called Migdal Eder, which translates literally to Tower of the Flock. Migdal Eder is first referenced way back in Genesis 35. Jacob's wife Rachel died in Bethlehem, and then we see that as he journeyed on, just beyond Bethlehem, just on the outskirts, Jacob set up his camp just beyond the Tower of the Flock, Migdal Eder. So in this familiar passage from Luke, while we see that shepherds were out in the field watching their flock by night, they were in the fields around Bethlehem. They weren't far from their home base. They weren't far from Migdal Eder. And this is where the angel finds them and makes his proclamation. Unto you is born this day in the city of David, which is Bethlehem, because that's where David was raised. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. To the shepherds, one of the lowest esteemed groups in society, this announcement came. To the temple flock shepherds, those who had a priestly duty to raise and protect the Passover lambs, this announcement came. You see, first, they knew this was no ordinary baby. Ordinary babies only come with Facebook announcements, right? Not angelic heralds. But pay attention to what is said in that angelic herald. The angel said, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Now, bear with me for a minute, because given their knowledge of the law, the shepherds would have understood this as a reference to Moses' prophecy that the Lord would raise up from among Israel another prophet like himself. You see, Moses was the Savior that freed them from Egypt. So this Savior born to them would be a fulfillment of Moses' prophecy. But they said, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Christ means the anointed. These shepherds would have known the prophecies regarding the Messiah, also called the anointed or the chosen servant, and how he would be a shepherd to his people Israel. But the angels called him Christ the Lord. The word is Adonai. And it's a word or a name used elsewhere in the Bible for God. Now, strictly speaking, it could be a generic term for anyone in a position of power. But it wasn't lost on the shepherds, and it ought not be lost on us, that even the angels, more powerful beings than any human, called this Adonai Lord. Even the angelic host pay homage to and worship this Adonai, this Lord. This word tells them that this Savior, this Messiah, can be none other than God Himself come in human form. He is the prophesied Emmanuel, God with us. So they know who this child is, but how do they know which child it is? The angel said, and this will be a sign to you. The sign. Signs point us to places or truths. A sign would be a specific signal, clearly understandable to its recipient, that would direct them. So what the angel is about to reveal is a sign from God that will, with perfect clarity, point the shepherds directly to Jesus. And the angel said, you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And I said this last year, but it's worth repeating today. You see, these are shepherds. Like Prissy famously said in Gone with the Wind, these guys don't know nothing about birthing no babies. But they knew everything there was to know about birthing lambs. So when the angel said, you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, they knew exactly what this signified. Immediately, they could relate to who this is. They would also have been familiar with the passages in Isaiah and Jeremiah that depict the Messiah as being like a lamb led to the slaughter. They would have remembered the story of Abraham and Isaac, in which Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb. This baby is the Lamb of God. And the angel said that they would find the babe lying in a manger, like any other newborn lamb, born to become a sacrifice for sin, Jesus would be found in a manger. Now, there's nothing in the Bible that tells us that the manger was in a stable or anywhere near an inn. We've constructed that out of tradition. All we're told is that they were in Bethlehem and that Mary laid him in a manger because there was no room in the inn. So I can imagine, and can you, that not finding room in the inn, they simply looked for anywhere warm and available away from the elements. The shepherds of Bethlehem had the flocks out in the field. So the watchtower of Bethlehem, Migdal Eder, was empty, warm, and safe. Is that beyond imagining? Absolutely not. Because, you see, Jesus couldn't be laid in just any random manger in town. This was a sign for the shepherds. And the shepherds in Bethlehem, who had already been told to look for swaddling clothes like they use on a newborn lamb, they only know one manger in town where holy little lambs are born and laid. The one at the watchtower. And as the angels sang, they were likely reminded of Micah's prophecy, which foretold that Messiah would come from Bethlehem of all places. And even more significantly, Micah 4:8 says, and thou, O tower of the flock, again in Hebrew, that's Migdal Eder, thou, tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion, the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. You see, because of the prophets and because of their own backgrounds and experiences, the sign the angel gave the shepherds spoke with absolute certainty to them. I believe they read the sign and came with haste immediately to the watchtower of Bethlehem to see the Lamb of God which had just been born. Emmanuel, God with us. They knew exactly who they were seeking and exactly where to find him. They found the baby exactly as the angel had said, and they knew who he was, and they marveled. You see, Abraham told Isaac that God would provide himself a lamb in order to spare Isaac. But this lamb was not just for Isaac. This lamb, provided by God, as the angel said, is the source of good tidings and great joy, which shall be to all people. And so the shepherds, seeing the baby, made it widely known what had been told to them and what they had seen. But I still wonder how they started that conversation. Well, folks, I want to suggest to you today, and keep in mind, this is total conjecture. This is just me thinking out loud. But I think it's possible that these shepherds preceded John the Baptist by about 30 years, being the first to proclaim to the world, "Behold the Lamb of God." You see, they'd seen the baby, and they knew from what the angels told them that this child is the long-awaited Messiah, their Savior, and He is the Lord that even the angels adore and worship, God in flesh. But the sign of the manger and the swaddling cloths and the fulfillment of Micah's prophecy regarding the tower of the flock also let them know this child's purpose. He came to be the Lamb provided by God for the salvation of His people and the establishment of His kingdom. This baby, named Jesus, is the Lamb of God. Heralded by angels, confirmed by a sign, and seen in the flesh, Christ was born and laid in the same manger where every lesser Passover lamb was inspected and found without blemish. So it was with Christ, our Passover. And I believe the shepherds recognized this, even if they couldn't express what it all meant and how it would play out. I believe that as they spread the news far and wide on that first Christmas day, in their hearts they were proclaiming, "Behold the Lamb of God." And friends, that should be our cry today. That's the long and short of what I'm getting at today. That should be our cry. Jesus is no longer in the manger. No. But still He lives. He's still present in the world today. He's present with us here as we gather at this very moment. Are you aware of His presence right now in this place? And He is with His people always, even to the end of the world. And you know, like those shepherds, we were among the lowest esteemed in the earth. Even if not in deed, we were in heart. Because you see, the gospel humbles the proud. We who are saved today were humbled and brought low by the weight of the conviction of our sinfulness and the truth of who Jesus is. And as we were humbled, the good news came to us that unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The good news came to my humbled heart, and in response, I left where I was. And I sought the Lord. I sought Him while He could be found. And when I found Him, He saved me. He bore the price for my sin and gave me His righteousness. He who knew no sin became sin for me, that I might become the righteousness of God in Him. When the sentence of death for my sin was passed, Jesus became my Passover. His blood was applied to my heart so that the angel of death has passed and will pass over me. Death has no power over me because of Jesus. Death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And that same thing is true for anyone here who's truly saved. The good news came to our lowly hearts like it did to lowly shepherds. And we sought the Lord and found the Lamb of God. And now on this Christmas morning, as we remember the baby who came to be the Lamb of God, who has become our Passover, kind of like the shepherds, it's now our turn to become the angels in the story. You see, the word angel in Greek simply means messenger. Now, we may not be supernatural warriors of heaven's host, but we have a message from the throne of God, the good news of Jesus Christ. We should be going to the lowly in the world, the lowly in heart. Now, these are not always the down and out, but we must not forget the down and out. Truth is, we don't know the state of anyone's heart. So instead, we just must go to all and proclaim these tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. We've got to tell everyone we see. Now, not all will be humble like the shepherds, but some will be. Some will respond. Some will say within themselves, "Let's go see." Like the messengers that God sent on that first Christmas morning, we must begin today to always give glory to God in the highest and to tell the world that Christ has come and to point people to Jesus. We must say to the world like those first shepherds perhaps did, "Behold the Lamb of God." And if you're here or listening online this morning and you don't know Jesus, if you don't truly understand why this day of days is so significant, then I invite you to seek out the Lord. Behold the Lamb of God. God, Almighty God, came in flesh as a baby so that He could identify with our suffering and our temptation, and still yet rise above it to be the spotless sacrifice that payment for our sin required. He came to be that Passover lamb whose blood, when applied to the lintels and the doorposts of our hearts, ensures that the plague of death will pass us by. Eternal life is found in Him. He is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. But He is also the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the victorious conqueror of death, hell, and the grave. Through death, He conquered sin. And through His resurrection, He conquered death. Do you know Him today? Behold the Lamb of God. Come and see Him. Seek Him while He may be found. Will you come to Him today? Surrender yourself to Him. Let go of pride and self-reliance and trust Him. Repent and trust in Jesus. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world and yours if you'll trust Him. And if you know the Lord today, proclaim the good news. It's Christmas Day. Christ has come. And yet there are still those in the world, there are still those in our community who don't know. Or even if they know, they don't understand who Jesus is or what He's done. So tell them. Proclaim it. Cry out, "Behold the Lamb of God." So are you willing today to go beyond just the decorations and the gifts and the traditions? And all those are fine and good. By all means, enjoy them. Enjoy the time with family and friends. But we've got to remember that the greatest gift we've ever received was given on Christmas Day. And Jesus is that gift. The cross, the empty tomb, none would have ever been had Jesus not come. So remember that gift and share it with everyone else. Give your family your friends, and your neighbors the greatest gift you can bestow by telling them about Jesus, by saying, "Behold the Lamb of God." Let's stand together for a word of prayer, and then we'll sing a final song. And as we sing, I invite you to come if you're so led, or just follow the Lord however He leads. It's His service. We'll worship as He leads us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank You for coming. I thank You, Lord, that every prophecy about Your coming has been shown to be true. I thank You, Lord, that You came, You gave up the splendor of heaven and came to be lowly among us, to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I thank You, Lord, that when I heard the gospel, the good news of the angel's message, that, Lord, You humbled my heart, and You led me to a place where I would repent and come to faith in You. And Lord, I thank You that You saved me. And I know there are many others who share similar testimonies here. And Lord, I thank You for the salvation of everyone here that professes it. But Lord, not everyone is saved. But the good news of a Savior is to all people. There are still those who are yet to come. So, Lord, I pray if there be anyone here who does not yet know You as Lord and Savior, that this morning, by Your Spirit, Lord, You would impress upon them the truth of who You are, that You would humble them before You and bring them to a place of repentance and faith, that today may be the day that they can say they met the Lord and were saved. Lord, I pray that today they might receive the gift of salvation. But Lord, I also pray for the rest of us here that as we gather on this Christmas day, Lord, that You would embolden us, that You would place a fire within our hearts, convict us so deeply of the truth of who You are, that like the shepherds, Lord, we just go from this place spreading far and wide that which we've been told and that which we've seen, and glorifying God with all that we have and all that we are. Lord, help us to be a people that never ceases to say, "Behold the Lamb of God." Jesus, we give You worship. We give You praise. We can never thank You enough that You came to be among us. Help us, Lord, to live a life of appropriate response to the good news that You've given us. And help us, Lord, to share that greatest gift with everyone we meet in a dark world that desperately needs light. You are the light of the world, Lord Jesus. So, Lord, as we continue in this service, I pray that if You're stirring in anyone's heart, Lord, I pray that You'll just move us to follow as You lead, however You lead. Help us to be yielded and surrendered to You in all that we do. This is Your service of worship, Lord Jesus. To You belong all the honor and the glory and the praise. So we just give this time back to You, Lord Jesus, and ask You to have Your way among us. Amen.